And yes. Welcome to episode 106 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
You can't just start the episode.
We're starting the episode to
you
get
can't
your
just
absolute
drop news like that. Jesus.
Your absolute shock.
Drop news. It's 2 days old.
Oh Jesus!
Eric,
I don't even know how to react right now.
A live reaction of Eric. You're learning that Eugene Melnyk died 2 days ago.
This isn't laughter because I find it funny. This is laughter because I'm uncomfortable with the fact that I just found this out. And apparently this was known.
It was well known. It was two days ago now. Monday night.
So today's Wednesday.
Yeah. So Eric is getting his Mexican news. finding out what's happening. I don't know in what do they play there? Football, soccer? Football is soccer.
There's no sports going on here. The only sports are drinking.
And, yeah, exactly. So that's why Eric didn't
tanning.
Know. So
and loud Jesus. Noises.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
shots.
I don't even know how to react to this news.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
We got producer Ty here today, Martin and Eric, Lucas, I don't know, he had the sniffles, he said.
He has the vid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he has the vid?
I didn't want to out him like that. As you can tell, Eric checks our chat.
Oh what? No, I didn't know
every
that. I didn't know
days.
That.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I do remember because Luke went to the Justin Bieber concert and got COVID. It's just really funny. Was it worth it? I don't know. You have to ask Luke.
Probably. Eric, how's the weather? It's looking a little cloudy today.
It was a little cloudy today, but it didn't rain, so that was nice.
When's your estimated time of return?
Supposedly Monday, but I'm trying to extend another 2 weeks. The people I'm here with don't really want to because we're coming back in May again anyways, but I'm slowly trying to wither down at least like one other person potentially to stay
with me.
It's
the same people coming back in May?
Yeah, exactly the same people, except this time it'll be a resort, not just like living here in an Airbnb in Playa del Carmen. So How have you guys been? I feel like I haven't caught up with y'all in forever. I missed the podcast last week.
Yeah, how was everything at work? Sorry, we're not talking
hockey
yet.
Mess.
It's our 10 minutes of banter.
It was a whole mess. There's this huge mess with a big potential deal and all this stuff. Anyways, can't get into it because of other reasons, but it's all not really resolved yet, which is
which is great. That's good. Yeah.
So really, we accomplished nothing. So good excuse to miss the podcast. What else has happened in hockey?
It sounds like someone showering in the background.
Someone is showering in the background.
Eric's recording in a bathroom, a public bathroom.
I'm in like my room, and then there's someone showering right there.
What happened to that room you were in last time?
Oh, that was, we switched because the Airbnb that we're at, there's two really nice rooms downstairs, one room with bunk beds and then a couch. So I was sleeping on the couch / using the bunk beds for the first 2 weeks. And then these last 2 weeks, I have my own room and everything.
That's someone just casually showering in. Yeah.
I mean, there's no doors on the bathrooms either, so it's literally just like...
looking right in.
Can we talk about Canada making the World Cup?
Oh, yes.
How awesome that is?
Yes.
In Dubai?
In Dubai. Eric thought it was... Eric is lost.
Hey, you know Eric's what?
Just drawn full Mexico mode.
I don't know what's going on in the world anymore, guys. Is there a war in Ukraine? I don't know. Does anything outside of the beach and drinking exist? I don't think so.
You're drinking rum, right? Like, it better be just straight.
It's all the rum. All the rum. And the rum is so cheap. Yeah, I got a 2-6 of rum for $13.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. It's dumb cheap.
What are the gas prices in Mexico?
It's dumb cheap. And then... we're eating gigantic meals for like $6-7. It's
a any food poisoning yet?
No. I've been like completely fine. I haven't even had like, I think a certain someone that Luke is fond of has had diarrhea and shit, but I've been fine.
I think food poisoning affects certain people. Like, I know people that have had food poisoning multiple times, and I've never had like anything close to food poisoning.
So. I mean, I lived in India for 2 years,
yeah.
So if I survive
Eric is
India,
he has the iron stomach.
I'm fine in Mexico, man. Yeah. Like, so, yes. But other people haven't had the luxuries that I have had. I guess.
Well,
or the non-luxuries I've had, I guess.
That is good to know, Eric. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah,
that was our Eric update.
Now everyone gets to know about my bowel movements.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's excellent.
Keeping everyone updated.
Because this is the part people listen to, too. So
I know. That's what keeps them in. And now transitioning to the main topics here. So we did tell Eric now 7 minutes ago that Eugene Melnyk passed away on Monday. And we do have a Senators fan in the building here, and I just want to ask about Eugene Melnyk's legacy with your franchise.
Rest in peace.
I mean, he saved the team from being a complete dumpster fire when he bought it back in 2003.
Oh my God, it makes so much sense now. I saw Ian Mendez on Twitter post the complicated legacy of Eugene Melnyk, and I saw that and like didn't like think anything of it. I was just like, oh, he just wrote a Melnyk article. Now I get why.
Did you not see it anywhere else? Like literally everywhere posted it.
I saw
someone send something
like
about
every Eugene hockey Melnyk person.
Your Instagram account made a story.
Yeah, Talking Hockey made a story.
I did not see Talking Hockey's Instagram story. it's been a busy couple days, guys. Okay, I had to beach, and I.
For everyone
and I,
listening, that
I
shows...
went and swam with the sea turtles. They were like this
unreal.
Big. They were like for anyone who's listening, probably like two feet big. Like they're pretty. Decently sized sea turtles. Saw
two
like four or five of them. I was swimming right above it. I was literally doing my little butterfly. And
were you snorkeling or just like
snorkeling.
Swimming?
Snorkeling's
so. Unreal.
Yeah. And then we went to the cenote. Anyways, nobody cares about my vacation. I just I just wanted to mention the sea turtles.
Everyone hates you now. Like that's all that's where all
it was really cool. I was just like I've like seen sea turtles. I haven't really been with them, literally just in the ocean chilling, you know?
So does Mexico make work better? I was thinking about this.
It
like,
makes so much better and so much like, worse because you're miserable doing the work. But
yeah,
then, like,
exactly.
After it's so awesome.
Exactly. Like, do you think it would just wear off, though? Like, if you
stayed
there
for
a while?
No, I'm not even, like, slightly worn off by it. Like, I'm just, oh man, like.
That's because there's still so much more to do.
Look out the window. It's cloudy, but like, look how beautiful it is, you know?
I mean, it just looks like a place with palm trees, to be honest.
Yeah,
Walmart.
Exactly.
All right, let's look out your backyard right now. Let's look out your window.
Yeah.
Your
let's
turn.
See your snow and rain
it's
and whatever
dark
other garbage.
Now, so you can't.
Pitch dark. I don't know what pitch dark is. Pitch dark doesn't come here until like 9:30.
Well, again, enough about
I'd
Eric
be golfing
in Mexico.
Like every Stop. Stop. Evening Stop. In, if I was in Mexico, because I bet golf is dumb cheap there too.
Oh, I mean, I haven't even seen a golf course here, but I don't think there's anything close by.
Oh, there'd be something.
No, I'm sure there is if you drive.
You're a resort town. There must be something close.
Martin, why don't you go visit Eric?
No time, man. No time.
Man, I was telling the boys. I was like, the boys got to pull up to Mexico, man. Like, you, Martin, you, Rob, Jeremy, and all, yes, you would have fucking had a time here.
Would have, could have.
Well, anyway, we're here to
talk
hockey.
Okay, back to the topic.
Yes.
Okay, so complicated legacy of Eugene Melnyk.
Complicated legacy of Melnyk. So he saved the team back in 03 while Murray was the GM. You didn't really hear much from Melnyk. He had a couple stories, but we were obviously younger back then, so I didn't hear that much. But also Murray kept him pretty quiet. Then Murray, rest in peace, Murray. And then Dorion comes along, doesn't keep him as quiet. Melnyk gets a little more outspoken and basically Melnyk tries to kill the team he saved. So his immediate legacy is a team in shambles and a team that doesn't pay, but they're on the mend, as Dorion said. Dorion had a pretty heartfelt comments about it and basically was crying at the GM meetings, which is fair enough. He worked closely with the dude. But
yeah, that is sad.
Mm-hmm. It did come out, like, I knew that he had some health problems, but I didn't know he was on the brink of, you know, passing away at a moment's notice.
Yeah. No, that was very, like, there weren't any, like, rumors of, like, him being.
Because he had stuff, like, as early as, like, November, December, he was still talking to media and stuff.
I only remember that he had, like, a transplant surgery a couple of years ago. I remember seeing that in the news. A liver transplant. Yeah, I know, but I won't talk. That's the only thing I remember seeing about him health-wise. It was a couple of years ago that happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's who's going to take
so
over
Martin,
your team?
Are you glad? Like, okay, so taking in, not I'm not saying you're glad he's dead. Don't worry, I'm not like a fucking. But are you glad he took over the team originally in 2003? Like. Overall, like,
I mean, realistically,
like
if you had
to take him doing that versus him never being a part of the Senators franchise,
what
would you have preferred? Like, so you've been through, you know, decades of pain.
But who knows what would have happened without Melnyk? Because, like,
who would have taken the team?
Example, Arizona, like, would have the NHL just stepped in and owned the team, or like, what would have happened? Like, would they?
So your reasoning is it's better than what Arizona has been, so therefore I'm happy. Okay.
Well, he also brought them to the Cup final, like, 4 years after saving the team, so that's pretty good. Not him specifically, but him saving the team allowed them to go do that. So there was good times with Melnyk.
There's a Cup final, an Eastern Conference final.
And I think part of the bad times, like, might be caused by the fact that he at one point owned the largest pharmaceutical company, Canadian pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it started not doing so well. And that's around the time it started getting reported Ottawa was a internal cap team. Type thing, right? So, like, he faced some external problems from hockey that impacted how he ran his hockey team.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair to him, because, you know, we've been very, very extremely critical of him for the last 2 years of this podcast or however long it's been, but he did, you can't say he didn't, like, love the team.
Yeah, he's a very outspoken owner.
Like, yeah, and he's a really outspoken owner, not because he's, like, he hates the team and he doesn't like the – he's outspoken because he's, like, I care about – no matter how much trouble he gets into, he's, like, I love this franchise so much I need a fucking, you know.
But he did it in such a weird way. Like not to – I don't mean to shit on him, but, like, do you remember that time where, like, he was, like, getting the team hyped up? It was the year after their – or the year they started their rebuild. I think it was, like, 2018 or 2019. He just did this random press conference – and a Sens jersey that was from, like, 2008 with Mark Borowiecki. And he was like a hype. Like,
yeah.
Just some weird stuff that he
was. I think he was kind of an odd personality.
He's an oddball. But I feel like also a lot of rich people and
a lot of billionaires like, probably are really pretty fucking odd.
Because once you're a billionaire, nobody's there to tell you.
Yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're like unchecked. You're just like Jesus. Yeah. Tell you what to do. You know?
So
yeah. And I mean, the interesting thing now will be because Martin, I think what's going to happen with the team, right? Are they going to get sold?
So he left it to his daughters. Like he always had the intent to leave it to his daughters, but I'm pretty sure his daughters said publicly, like a couple of years back, like when it was made public that he wanted to leave it to them, that they didn't. They didn't have much desire to own the team or
owner-operated
team. Because he also was, the president, the CEO of everything, too. So, he was part of the front office. Yeah, he was an active part. And apparently they're, our age or in their 20s or something, or maybe 30s.
Maybe not quite suited yet to be running an NHL franchise.
And maybe they just have zero desire, at all. I think it would be fucking unreal to be left a team, but that's...
They're de facto billionaires. They can do whatever the fuck they want. They don't need to run an NHL team.
But I think it'd be living it up cool.
in Ibiza for the next 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. They can do whatever they want.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
I know nothing about them.
Probably saw how much press public scrutiny and everything like that their dad got. Sure. Imagine you've probably seen that your entire life. Almost since you can remember, he's been shit talked by the media. They're probably I don't want to take over that. And
plus they have to talk to creepy old Gary Bettman. And
that doesn't sound
deal fun. With this guy.
So it'll be interesting if they get sold, what they'll get sold for, because the NHL set a standard of if you want a new NHL franchise, you have to spend $650 million for Seattle, right?
That would be very interesting.
And the Senators right now, according to Forbes or anywhere else, aren't worth
close to that.
They definitely aren't close to that, right?
I thought it was 300 or something, 300 mil.
Yeah, yeah. But the other thing with that is that Pittsburgh just sold – part of their ownership or whatever for way more than what Forbes values them at.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a house. It's the houses. The valuation is nowhere close to what they're selling at these days.
Because actually Forbes has them valued at $500 million.
Oh, wow.
That's an update, but that's updated, of course, for this year. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're looking at it going – they could easily, that $600 million, $650 million valuation is really only a 20% increase in that valuation, which for a billionaire isn't exactly backbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there's not many billionaires walking around Ottawa. So it'll be.
Who's the Shopify guy? Toby, whatever his last name is.
Well, there was that group.
He's in Ottawa.
There was that group that wanted to put together an offer that the guy that owns the Red Blacks and the 67s almost had the group.
I think
together.
That'd be a good fit.
It'd be interesting to see if he comes back. I don't know anything about him beyond he had some interest back in the a couple of years ago. And I think I don't know if the door is completely closed on the Breton Flats because I don't remember if Ottawa had subsequently sold the Breton Flats off or made subsequent deals to have the Breton Flats be built. But this would be a very good time for someone to come in and move that team downtown. Because I think you move that team downtown, you open up that team to be much more valuable. More valuable.
Yeah, that them moving downtown instantly increases their valuation by $100 million.
Yes.
It'd be dumb. Yeah. It's an immediate freaking impact. Yeah.
And it,
we've talked about why already. We don't need to rehash.
And it makes it just makes sense because Ottawa is booming with real estate. Like, Ottawa is just a happening place right now.
Which has also probably made LeBreton Flats a bit more expensive now, too, though.
But if you're going to buy that team, you don't want them in Kanata. I'm sorry. You just, like, part of the reason they're such a dumpster fire of revenue is they're in Kanata.
There's nothing worse than traveling from Ottawa to Kanata.
The closest bar, there might be one bar across the road or something, but the next closest is like a Kelsey's, which is like a 2 kilometer walk.
Yeah. And if you're trying to get people to go. It's like, in any major city, like you go to any of the major cities, like Madison Square Gardens, right? Where is that located? Frickin' the heart, right? The heart. Toronto, literally the heart. Right, like it's literally right beside the TTC and Union Station and everything else, and all the bars. Like, you walk 2 minutes, and there's 100 bars. There's infinite things to do. The baseball stadium's like 10 minute walk away. The CN Tower's there. Like, there, it's you can't have a stadium just in the middle of nowhere. It makes no sense.
It makes
no sense. It's bizarre that that was even created there in the first place.
Oh, I feel like it was super cheap. They thought Kanata might boom. I don't know.
It makes no sense to me how they thought.
You know where it started, eh? They started Ottawa Senators, OG, because they were still building the arena. But OG Ottawa started where the 67s play, so like Lansdowne.
Yeah. And honestly, that's still a better place than Kanata.
Well, it's a little small, but yes.
Yeah.
If you recreate it Lansdowne so it's just a hockey arena, it'd be unreal.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, you replace that stadium.
Yeah.
Like that stadium with a hockey arena. That'd be amazing. It works actually much better. Although, again, you'd probably have to increase the infrastructure around there. But there's still way more to do in frickin' Lansdowne than there is to do anywhere in Kanata, right? Like, there's so much. There's still a shit. Like, you get out of the Red Black Stadium, and there's bars, there's restaurants. Like 7 bars
right there. Like,
there's a ton of bars all down that street.
Some of the best in Ottawa too.
Exactly. Right there. Yeah, and then from there, it's easy to get downtown too, right? Super easy. So it's not even like, you know, you can't do anything else after. Even if you don't want to go to those bars in Lansdowne. You take, 20-minute bus ride, 15-minute bus ride, and you're downtown Ottawa?
And you can have pre-game dinner down in Byward and then go to the game or go to the game.
Yep, exactly.
Go to Byward after the game. Like, there's just so many options.
What about the Rideau Center McDonald's? Is that the West Hollywood?
They'd have to close it permanently if these centers moved there. Too much chaos. The fact that that place, like, it's so funny that while we were there, they had to, like, literally cut the hours and close it at, like, 11 or something like that because there was just too much chaos. Like, and I remember we'd go and, like, it was just fucking just 100 people.
Just nuts.
What about that? Nuts.
They're shouting out orders and people are just taking whatever food comes out, even if it's not their order. Like, just getting
it. Oh, it was so easy to just take
you could
food.
Just, like, if you just wanted to show up and grab whatever orders they're screaming out, you could just do it.
It would take so long to order. Yeah. You'd be like, fuck
it. It takes so long to order, and then once you order, you'd be like behind 100 other people, and if you could just sneak up, you'll never even hear them calling you. Oh my god, that was such a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ottawa sounds like a fun place.
Ottawa is fun. Getting them downtown would make it way more fun. Like, it would make that city just amazing.
Tell us about that time you and Robert were getting a burrito, and
I was
there was a fight right next to you guys.
I was there. It made World Star. This fight made World Star.
All the boys were there. CPL, World Star.
Just eating it. Just Robert and Martin standing there eating. Robert's eating a burrito while these guys are just...
I contributed to the fight.
Martin pushed them a little bit.
No. The one guy.
You were stopping them. You were like
the one guy. The one guy picked. The one guy picked up a stool.
And that's when you were like, whoa,
buddy, whoa.
Not the stool. Keep punching him in the face, but don't use the stool. Martin's very consistent with his no weapons policy. Martin in hockey, a stick's a weapon. And Martin in a bar fight, the stool's a weapon.
But, like, seriously, the guy almost beat the shit out of him with a stool. That would have been awful. We would have seen a murder in front of us.
Martin was literally just like, keep punching him and kicking him in the face. That is fine. But you were about to use a stool. Therefore,
well, there was no
that's when I have to get involved.
The guy kind of deserved it. He was being a fucking racist dickhead.
No, he did deserve it.
And he started getting the shit kicked out of him. And even his buddy was like, well, man, like, come on, you're an idiot.
Especially surrounded by, like, four or five dudes.
Yeah, it was, like, three. Trying to offend.
Yeah. I don't remember how many. We were all drunk eating burritos. It was a blurry. I just know what I know.
I'm glad we already had our burritos. That's all I'm happy.
Yeah. Thank God we had the burritos already, man. If that happened before we got the burritos, imagine how fucking pissed we would have been.
I think they closed. I think they shut down. I think they were like, no way.
They close early now.
Oh, they always did that, though.
No, they close earlier after that fight. Like, it's fucking... Anyways... McDonald's and Burrito Barracho, man. They all have to close because of the drunks. Anyways, back to hockey. What else has been happening?
There's been some suspensions. I know, Eric, you missed a lot. There's been a lot of talks about the officiating. Alan Walsh discussed that at the too bad Luke's not here to talk about this, but Alan Walsh said that at the GM meetings that, you know, the Gary Bettman reminded them that, hey, if you talk out about officiating, there's going to be harsh punishments. I wanted to make this comment, maybe I made it before, but because we talk about officiating a lot, but, like, I don't think that calling out officials does what people think it's going to do. It's just going to, all it's going to do is they're going to double down and not give your team calls anymore, like, even more so.
Does this have to do with the Leafs somehow, Ty?
No, it doesn't. It's just in general.
I did see your comments about Colorado and the Leafs today, so that's why I was wondering.
How does Colorado lead the league 5 years in a row?
I started it. That's my bad, audience. My bad.
5 years in a row in penalty differential. Watch a Colorado Avalanche game. You will never see more borderline calls go their way. Like, not even close.
I don't have an answer for you.
Do you think
but
Taylor Hall...
I also have a hard time, like, bringing it down to narrative.
Is that possible?
Yes, people talk about how full Colorado's... I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for why it happens. I have a hard time believing that because people think, oh, they play fast and skilled and everything like that, they draw more penalties. Because if you use that narrative, the Leafs are like that too, right? Like,
but they're seen as soft. No, everyone talks about how
they're
soft.
But does Colorado have some, like, reputation as a super hard team? Like, I don't think so.
How did Nathan MacKinnon not even get a fine for slashing a ref?
MacKinnon slashed a ref?
Yeah, he did.
When was this?
This was like 3 weeks ago. Do you remember this clip, Martin?
I never watched it. I remember you talking about it.
So he was trying to slash, like, he must have been trying to slash another player, but ended up, like, straight up slashing the ref.
Yeah. Like, didn't they deem it, like, an accident?
Yeah, they said it's an accident.
Well, if it was an accident, there's
nothing.
No.
You have to see it. It's ridiculous. Never mind. You guys don't. But
Nate MacKinnon wouldn't slash a ref. Like,
Nate MacKinnon is a hothead.
MacKinnon is a bit of a hothead.
Yeah, but he's not going to slash a ref.
No, he's not. But he does a lot of stupid things that doesn't even get looked at. The NHL, what you're fine about the NHL player safety
Did he get a fine?
Not for that ref thing.
Like, I think he should have probably got a fine because, like, you're misusing a weapon.
So, like, really?
Whether it's a hockey stick or a bar stool.
The thing is, like...
That,
like,
bar stool in that guy's hands? That guy was a big dude. He could have fucking...
Did you see the outrage? The outrage when Matthews got suspended, or Matthews did that cross-check, right? Two games, whatever. It happens so many more times as well. It's happened, like, if you're setting that as a precedence, all these other cross checks get nothing. They suspend based on and punish players based on the reaction it gets on Twitter, or the reaction it gets on, you know, what it seems like at least.
Well, I'm going to say they don't. Like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think George Parros goes on Twitter, to be honest. Like, he doesn't even seem like the type to go on Twitter.
How many times did people, like, show things that didn't even get looked at? Like, other cross-checks, other dirty plays that didn't even get looked at. That same night, even, that Austin Matthews cross-checked Rasmus Dahlin. And you could say it was an accident, too. I don't think he meant to cross-check him in the head. He meant to cross-check him in the shoulders, and the stick slipped up.
This is fair. But you're just... Right? At this point, you're just questioning their work ethic, I would say. Like, they're just shitty at their job at that point. Like, I mean, they're lazy. They're too lazy to investigate.
I kind of agree with Martin that, like, I still have a hard time believing, like, it's narrative-driven. Like, they're like, oh... I get why people think so, because it does seem like...
Of know, course.
If you look at it, like, very objectively, the calls don't make sense.
Hi, here's the thing.
But I also think the calls have never made sense to begin with.
Here's the thing with the Leafs game. The Leafs game is always the prime time game. It's always going to be the prime time game. So, of course, it gets the most views.
But...
So, of course, they get the most suspensions. Like, not the most suspensions, because they don't. But, like, of course, they get the most... critiques, because they're the prime time game. That's how the NHL's designed.
But then the NHL would see the multiple missed calls against, you know, that lead to things like goals against, like that one that Austin Matthews was held back, right? They would see this every
day. That was pretty insane. Like,
why would the NHL be trying to punish the Leafs? When the Leafs,
it would pay for them to win.
the NHL wants the Leafs to win because that gets more Leafs fans involved. They want
the Leafs winning the cup. Yeah,
exactly. The best case scenario for the NHL is the Leafs winning the cup.
It's like an extra, like, hundreds of millions.
Literally, the NHL gets nothing from San Jose winning the cup,
or Colorado for that matter. Colorado is not even a very big market.
Colorado isn't a big market. You know what's a big market? Freaking the GTA. Freaking your New York Rangers or LA or or Montreal.
Well, like, you know what? We talked too much about the Leafs. I think that there's nothing really. We talked about the trade deadline.
Thanks, Ty.
Did anybody, you know, there weren't any big moves there, but like, I wanted to talk about, since Luke's not here, maybe we can talk about the World Cup a little bit, soccer, transition to soccer.
I will always talk about soccer.
Insane.
It's incredible.
We as Canadians are going to see
Ty, our are team we in a World going Cup. To Qatar? Are we
I'm going. I'm going to try to go.
You're going to try to go? I don't think that sounds like a commitment that you're going.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do everything I can to go. It's crazy. Like,
when is it?
It's in November.
December.
November.
November. So Martin, do you think in your lifetime you would have believed there was a year where Canada made the World Cup and Italy didn't?
No. Well, we were going to make it the next go around because we're hosting.
This is like
that's when I thought we would make it.
No, well, obviously we were making it, but that's when you thought the team was going to be really, really good because, you know, all their young players were going to be, you know, in their prime, 25, 26. But Canada sucked at
soccer. Like, it's incredible we got so good so fast
in a year.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absurd how fast that ramp up was from just like no hope to top of CONCACAF.
I will say it does kind of make sense, considering how much immigration Canada has.
Like, but they get players to commit, right? There were a lot of people who were eligible to play for Canada that played for other countries. Like 10 years ago, if Alphonso Davies was coming up, do you think he would represent Canada?
Yeah,
probably not.
He wouldn't.
No.
There's no chance.
John, yeah. I like, you got to give a lot of credit to John Herdman.
Great. I think you also have to like,
so do we give the credit to the women being much better?
He changed the women's team.
Yeah. Because the women have been good for a while now.
Right.
And maybe they made the men better.
Because then, now John Herdman moved over to the men's team and he just totally changed that. Do you remember that day, that game they lost? I think it was like 2012 against Honduras, 8-1. And that was like the lowest point for Canada soccer.
I remember that.
Vividly. What a time. 10 years later.
Yeah.
They're going to win. Like, if they win tonight, they win the CONCACAF. They're playing Panama tonight.
And by all accounts, is Panama still playing to get in?
I think they can come in fourth if Costa Rica
loses.
Something like that. They were pretty close together this window.
Because the Jamaica game was like
Jamaica. They were Jamaica didn't even bring like their good players.
Yeah, they didn't care. They were cold as balls.
Yeah.
we froze them to death.
Yeah.
And they didn't give a shit. So
it was just like the atmosphere in Toronto when they, you know.
Mm-hmm. We weren't using laser pointers.
That game sold out instantly. Right.
Instantly.
Yeah, that game did.
Instantly.
That did.
I knew like 8+ people there.
Still. And I was like looking for tickets. I remember it was on sale one day, and I was like looking later in the day.
Yeah. And the resale tickets got really expensive.
Oh, I bet.
Like, very expensive.
I bet.
So Italy's out of the World Cup. So that means all of Woodbridge and all the Italianos are all of a sudden Canadian fans.
That is absurd though. Like, they won the Euros and they got knocked out in the last goal against North Macedonia.
They didn't deserve to even win the Euros. I'm gonna stick by that statement for the rest of my life.
Well, they won.
Who'd they play in the finals?
England.
The Euros are garbage all the time. Like, Portugal fucking winning in 2016 was garbage. Spain deserved in 2012. Anyways, last two garbage winners. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Chiesa was out for this qualifying window too, so I mean, whatever. Anyway,
any Italian listeners, we're gonna get shit on.
Jorginho choked two huge penalties.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna get killed.
Yeah,
get murdered by Italians. But I also wanted to be very clear: Italy did not deserve to win the Euro. They were not that great of a team. They're a good team. They weren't a great team. They got lucky. Good for them. I'm happy for you guys.
So also, I said a couple episodes, I only make 2 bets a year on sports, but I'm making a third this time because that $100 on Canada to win is too good.
I don't think they can win, like, against
any. Man, who cares? $100.
They pay off good enough, especially if they're in this pot. I don't know how it works. This draw, the draw will be on Friday. But if they get like Qatar and like another team in their group, that's not great. So that's why it's big if they win.
Almost
this,
any of the African teams, right, basically, would be a good draw for them.
And I think that they could, like they've shot up to like 30th in the world, I think. They've lost one
game.
They're
better than that, too.
Yeah, they've lost one game against Costa Rica, and they were down to 10 men like 30 minutes into the game. And even after giving up that goal, like they hit the post like three times. They actually. Yeah,
that was a pretty Bush League loss.
And there was a garbage red card, CONCACAF soccer. What do you expect? But, you know, I'm excited.
I mean,
to see them
you're on it. If you like, it's soccer. If you're on a yellow, don't do shit.
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah.
Like your next foul is out of the game, right? Like,
he got baited big time. He should have been taken off right away.
For sure. I think so. I don't think there was a need to have him in the game at that point. And yeah.
But whatever, they made it.
Yes. For sure.
Also, I wanted to ask, did you guys talk about the trade deadline last week?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Of
we talked about
it. We covered all the last week.
Yeah.
That was disappointing. So, I wanted to talk
Eric,
about
what was your favorite? What was your favorite move?
The best move was by far Raquel Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Even though Zach, your favorite player, Zach Aston-Reese, got traded?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Pittsburgh needs help on their defensive side. I think they need someone who's going to score.
They need goals, yeah. They need. Yeah.
Especially Malkin isn't as good offensively as he was. I think they've been missing something on the third line. I think Raquel can really step in there. I do think they are going to miss Zach Aston-Reese, though, because I think he did make that fourth line work really well, and they're going to miss that. But Raquel is better than him, you know, so it doesn't matter.
For sure.
And I think he brings more of what they're looking for. I was kind of confused about Domi to Carolina. That was kind of an odd move, I felt. for Carolina specifically.
They just wanted all the
they want all the offense and the defense for I don't know.
All the MAGA boys in one.
They also wanted all the MAGA boys, yeah.
In one room.
I feel like Brendan Moore is a MAGA. Like he just strikes me as he could easily be MAGA. Also, Trump. Trump hit a hole in one and it's getting questioned quite hard.
Oh brother.
Everyone's doubting if it actually happened.
He put out like a whole like presidential address. Like on his president, because he still gets to say he's a president, right? Like you're president for life.
He's President Trump, yeah.
Yeah. So he put it out like a presidential statement saying he got a hole in one, and it's like, did you really though? He's claiming he hit a 5-iron, 180 or something into the wind.
I don't know what any of this means. I just want everyone to know.
Okay. Martin is Mr. Golf Man, Martin.
Martin, this is all like a foreign language to me.
Okay.
I don't believe it, but I don't actually know what you're saying.
I think maybe he hit the hole in one. Like that's possible because hole in ones are pretty random. Like they're like you can.
Yeah, it's not skill to hit a hole.
It's just like complete randomness. It's questionable whether he had a 5-iron to do it because he's hitting that distance for a 78 or 79-year-old man. And I've heard he's not extraordinarily good at golf and takes a lot
of gimmies.
He takes a lot of them. He'll pick up the ball and stuff and say, oh, yeah, I got par.
Oh. Also, speaking of this, I did like the Giroux move from Florida.
Oh, that's a huge win for them. You want to know what's another huge win? I know you probably haven't seen much, but Mark Giordano is a huge, huge addition for the Leafs.
Yeah, he's playing very, very well from what I've seen so far.
Leafs are great defensively.
People were commenting on our picture that New York was the most improved from the trade deadline.
What did New York? They just replace like a bunch of garbage players with.
They got Andrew Kopp, I think.
Yeah, with slightly better players, which is technically a really good way to approach it. Which is, we have all these guys at the bottom of the lineup that are literally not even NHL players. Let's replace them with guys that are at least NHL level. That's kind of actually not a big move, but it's like small little improvements that'll have a bigger impact.
When your top of the lineup's fucking pretty good, like Sib, Kreider, Panarin.
I mean, I think Giroux to Florida just makes things unfair. that's ridiculous.
And they gave up nothing for it essentially.
Yeah, like I don't think Owen Tippett's gonna really become.
No, Owen Tippett's nothing. I was saying it last week. He's nothing.
Yeah,
just a top pick with name value. A
first round pick that's probably gonna be late.
You never know. I mean. Depends how you think Florida's going to be good next year and the year after. Too. Oh, did my?
You cut out and came back.
Oh, okay, I'm still here. Quickly. Anyway,
yeah,
I gotta head out in a second.
German Rubstov isn't really anything.
Oh, okay, I have to leave soon.
Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Claude Giroux has worked out in Florida so far quite well too.
Well. With that being said, we didn't talk very much hockey this week, so if you wanted to hear more of our trade deadline thoughts, make sure to check out last week.
One sec.
Okay, Martin, go ahead. You have your minute.
Post-trade deadline, Eric, who's your favorite to win the cup now?
Oh, yeah.
It's Florida, I think.
It's Florida?
I think it has to be. Like, Avs didn't really...
Lekkonen's a huge...
Lekkonen is big, yes.
What's wrong with McKinnon?
He's hurt. Yeah, McKinnon got hurt. I know you've noticed that too. So,
but the thing is, with Colorado's issue has never been the team. It's getting past that last hurdle. Right? So maybe Lekkonen is the final straw. But I don't think Lekkonen adding to the team. It's like this. Like Lekkonen added to another team would have been like that. Like a bigger difference. But Colorado's already so it's hard for them to really.
Lekkonen's a long-term, too.
Yeah, Lekkonen's probably going to replace Nichushkin next year because he's an RFA. Nishushkin is going to be a UFA, probably priced himself out. So he's like a perfect replacement there for the future.
So I agree, for the future, great. But like for this year, I don't see Lehkonen being some like, you know, especially compared to Giroux,
he wasn't going to waive to go to Colorado, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is kind of, I mean, he waived to go to Florida. So I don't know.
It was widely reported he wanted Florida.
Colorado's already been my cup favorite forever. You know what I mean? Like, but when I look at like who made the biggest addition to like go make that final like push, I think it's Florida.
Apparently, everyone's saying Drew's dock in Ottawa next year.
Okay, that'd be well, Martin, pipe dream.
I just want to briefly say that Florida, despite them probably being the best team, they also have by far the hardest road.
Yeah, definitely.
So Colorado has an easy road to the
Colorado's
finals.
Besides only Calgary.
Calgary is probably their biggest test.
Calgary's
a huge test.
Calgary's great, but I don't think Calgary is at Colorado's level. Florida, I think Calgary is a level below Florida, Tampa.
Tampa
because they still.
You got to see what Calgary's done this year, man.
I don't know. I don't get me wrong. Calgary's been great, but I just still don't see them at that same level, especially because a lot of their top guys still haven't performed in the playoffs yet.
Okay.
Very much similar to how like I have a hard time believing.
But near is Colorado.
They
haven't performed.
Gaudreau has not done anything in the playoffs every time he's gone.
Colorado's basically Toronto of the West at this point.
That's true too. But Colorado's won a round, you know?
That's true.
Leafs haven't even won a round. Calgary haven't won rounds. Calgary's top guys haven't performed well. You know, again, it's a very different team from a couple of years ago, but I still just see Toronto and Calgary like just behind mentally. And so we'll see how it goes. But Florida, right. Tampa, Colorado, those are the
East is going to be nuts.
The East is just crazy because Pittsburgh really loaded up. New York has Shesterkin.
Well, they had to. Everybody
series.
Had to.
It was a ridiculous arms race. Boston went and got Lindholm, and then signed into a gigantic deal that's, I suspect, isn't going to be great. But the East really loaded up.
I don't remember a year
like
this.
When it got Giordano, it's very one-sided. Like, the West didn't do much.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them were sellers, but, like, the West didn't really do too much. So, it'll be
interesting. It's going to be a very interesting playoff year.
We will talk
many more weeks to talk about it still.
Yeah.
All right.
And Ty has to go because he's a busy, busy man.
Yes, I do.
You probably have to play COD or something.
No. Mm-hmm. All right. See you guys later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.